This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, hit number 3,000, a run is scored!
Smith, corks one into right down the line, it may go!
The Cardinals there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team! What a ride! The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, Cardinal Nation, and welcome to the Monday morning edition of Two Birds on a Bat, your St. Louis Cardinals fan podcast. Maybe it should be the, well, it's morning, but is it not the type of morning edition that you're, we're actually in mourning. Would you say? Or have you been in mourning for some time?
Well, you know, we just had a heated discussion. I mean, the Cardinal season comes to an end. My Cowboys shit the bed against the lowly Rams, or what used to be the lowly Rams. Benji was here and then left, so we don't have him today. I'm trying to figure out our rally squirrel report, how I get all that done, which I want to talk a little bit about today. Yep. as we promote that, pimp that a little bit. So there's a little bit of normalcy coming back, maybe, now that baseball season's over with, and the sporting events that I cover, because I just really do football, is, you know, two or three times a week at most. And you're getting ready to go in a full swing of the hockey season, which starts on Wednesday night with your Blues coverage. So you're, once again, you have literally tonight and tomorrow night to rest before you get back on it.
Well, there's no rest. Listen, am I mad and upset? Yeah, because I've said this a thousand times over, there's nothing, you and I've had this conversation 100 times, there's nothing better than fall baseball in St. Louis. Because listen, if you live here like we all do, okay, like we obviously, there's people listening to the show that are Cardinal fans that don't live in our region here, but you know, it's a great baseball city, whether we want to bitch about it and complain about it, whatever. It is a great baseball city, and we can have fun with it and joke around about it. I don't care what kind of fan you are. You have every right to be pissed, bitch, moan, whatever you want to do. Doesn't matter to me. I love it. We wouldn't have this if that wasn't the case, right, what we do. And we appreciate everything and everybody's role they've played in helping this show become what it's become, which – really is a lot more than you or I ever thought it would
right.
be.
And okay? That's the exciting part, okay, Jim, because right. we've opened a lot of doors through some things.
Right. Now that being said, when you have to be honest about things, right? Like, you got to look at things and your fandom and your heart that get in the way and things, so you got to look at it. Okay, we try to do that, but yet we're no different than anybody else, right? We're fans. So like, if we get on something or we get defensive, that's how it is. It's going to be that way. It's going to be that way whether you're for or against something, right? But look at it. We're lucky because we've got a great history. But you and I just talked a little bit about history in the other room. Like, where does what you did yesterday play into how you feel today and where you sit and all that kind of good jazz in the warm and fuzzies? But it's the experience of being a part. And again, it's not like you're out there taking grounders and taking swings and working on your game. But just being a part of being a Cardinal fan. Part of that is, again, it almost felt like, because of so many years, almost like a rite of passage to be in the postseason. It seemed, you know, quite often, right? Especially, and it got even more with the wild card. It gave more opportunity, and you're talking about a franchise that always did, and in some people's opinion, just enough. Some people realize how hard it is, no matter what the, you know, there's been so many teams that it's like, just give them the World Series trophy in the offseason, and then they don't even make the playoffs, right? Because I don't know that we understand how hard it really is. But as fans, you look at it and you say, God, look how, you know, we were pretty close. And if we just would have done this, and that's really what all this stuff that we do allows us to do. And that is pinpoint where things go wrong, do the math, figure it out. But I will say this, okay? We live through, if you're a Cardinal baseball fan and you're in town here, what you live through typically is you can't wait for opening day because it's a holiday. We've talked about it 1,000 times over, right? And, you know, you go and you're – and most times than not, the first month of the season, you're dealing with some cold weather, maybe some rain, right? So you got on more – and then it gets starts to warm up and the weather turns. And for those of you that have kids, or if you are a kid yourself and you're in school, then all of a sudden school lets out. And then it's really on, right? It's on, right? But it's 100 degrees and you're sitting over there, you're baking. So you go through all of this, right, the ups and downs of the seasons, the new guys that come up and do well. You find your favorite players, your old veterans do well. You're just a Cardinal fan, right? Now you're having thoughts of maybe we can do this, maybe we can't. We're not good enough here. We're good enough here. What's he doing? What's wrong with Matheny? What's wrong with Mozeliak? What's wrong? Who's this new GM? Is he going to do anything? DeWitt needs to spend money. You go through all of that, and in the end, what you hope for is exactly what we don't have this year, and that is to go sit at Busch Stadium, where, again, I think it's an awesome place to be a part of a baseball game and be part of the crowd, right? And the weather's like 70, and heck, it can even get into the city. You and I've sat over there in 40-degree weather when it's drizzling, and there's no place you'd rather be because it just feels that crisp October feeling while baseball's going on, where you can sit and enjoy and have a beer and a dog and talk and memories and all that. That's the part that we get robbed of. And I also believe that that's part of why some people lose their ever-loving minds when we're just not good enough. And at the end of the day, you know, I thought about how do we approach this, and I pulled up the standings. Of course, I pulled up free agent lists and things like that. But in the end, what I really did was I pulled up our stats, okay? And while some of them are okay, the bottom line is we fell short in an area. We just weren't good enough. Just not good enough.
In all around, or just, you know.
Well, so that's the thing, and that's why, and that's where I'm going with this. So, you know, there's no 30 home run hitter. There's a couple guys that had some home runs that didn't play full seasons. So there's no 30 home run hitter. There's
how many 20 home run hitters?
A few. There's no 100 RBIs. You know. Tommy Pham, 25 stolen bases is really good, you know, but, you know, so we don't have that. We don't have the 40 or 50 guy like a couple of these other teams have. It's not even that. Like, Tommy Pham had a great year. Great year. Dexter Fowler had a nice year. But once again, Dexter Fowler had his up and downs. But what did Dexter Fowler do? He hit a few more home runs than he normally does, but he wound up what? What did I say he was before the season? He's a 260-something hitter. He hit 260-something.
What? How many at-bats did Pham have?
530.
Okay, so it's pretty much a full season of at-bats.
Yeah, yeah. I think you can. He had 100 less than Carpenter, who had the most.
Okay, so, I mean.
Well, not 90 less, I'm sorry.
Okay, so Carpenter was at 600, you said? 610?
620. 530
620 at-bats or plate appearances?
Oh, I'm sorry. Stop. Sorry. Back up, wrong column. Yes.
Okay.
Tommy Pham had 444 at bats.
I thought it was 4.
Yachty led the team in at bats with 501. Carpenter number two at 497. Obviously, Carpenter.
Okay. I think we consider
Carpenter walked 109 times.
Right. I think we consider a full season like 500 at bats.
Right.
So what you consider.
Sorry about that. It's my fault.
So, I mean, so 440 is right there, and he ended up with 23 bombs, 25 stolen bases. Is that right?
Yep. 73 ribbies.
So project that out. So you're looking at maybe 85 ribbies, 25, 25, you know, 25 and 30, somewhere.
Yeah,
there,
no,
you know.
Yeah, the guy was a godsend for this team, no doubt about it.
So getting back to your original point, we're going to be fans for the next 40 plus years. We're both in our mid 40s. We're 40 plus
till we die,
right?
Yep.
Some nights it feels like we're dying that night, but so let's say 40 more years. But these players, Yachty's only got 3 years left, right?
Yep.
That's one more year, one more opportunity, one more 162-game season, and you don't get to go to the dance. Okay? You only have so many opportunities. There's some guys that are on the team that may not make it back to the big leagues.
Oh, yeah, there's a few of those.
So that was an opportunity. So when you talk about our feelings and our disappointment, sure. But guess what we have next year? We have next year.
Yes.
Some of those guys don't. Some guys.
Well, and some will have next year somewhere else, right. And da-da-da. You know.
We just talked about it. Wainwright's having shoulder surgery. We don't even know if he'll be back. Anticipation is yes. But he may never come back as the same.
Well, again, I...
So you're missing. They're missing the opportunity. Us as fans, yes, it hurts. But man,
as a player,
when you look back and you go, if Carlos Martinez makes three good throws on defensive plays, we're in the playoffs. If Wong doesn't look over his shoulder a couple of times at a ball out in right field and makes it to third base, we're in the playoffs.
Right, but on the same token, we don't get to see every game the Brewers play. We don't get to see every game the Cubs play. I did see – you do get to see some games. Cubs had problems.
Yeah.
Cubs had problems. Listen, that's my point. The Cubs had problems.
So how about this
hang
stat?
On. The Cubs let's say we would have caught the Cubs.
Yep.
Okay? You don't think the podcast with a couple of jokers like us is up there going, well, if so-and-so would have done this and if so-and-so would have done that, that's part of the deal.
Right.
Even the teams that have 100 wins look back at their 60 losses and say, you know, what happened here? What happened there? My biggest problem with our team is this. We got a bunch of guys that I think, and I'm sorry, we got a few high-end complimentary guys, but we got a bunch of complimentary guys. And I've said it before, the model we used to have was we sprinkled those guys around proven guys that get it done year in and year out. I really appreciate everything Tommy Pham did, everything. And while I would assume he'll have a good – can you count on it? I'm
no,
asking you.
No.
Okay. Now.
That's the problem.
Look at everybody thought Aledmys Diaz was going to hit
300
and hit 15 to 20 bombs, and his defense was going to improve this year. We all figured that, right?
Right.
Didn't happen.
Didn't happen.
Did not happen. Okay, Dexter Fowler came over here and was going to hit leadoff, and he was going to have a high OBP, was going to steal some bases for us. Now, Dexter Fowler turned around an awful – see, I listened to a guy talk the other day, and I kind of like what he said. He said, you know what, they were a decent team with a lot of bad luck. And when you say bad luck, it's like, well, this happened. But really what happened was they didn't get everything going at the same time. And that's my problem with, like, stats.
Exactly.
Because I can look at, like, for instance, I'm going to look at these stats right now. Okay? Here's a guy. Jed Jerko. Jed Jerko hit .271 with 20 home runs, 67 RBIs, and 426 at-bats. It's a pretty good season.
Right.
But he went through stretches where he couldn't do anything. Okay.
Right.
So the up and down. When everything's going right and everybody's playing well together, you get winning streak. There's just the consistency. Randall Grichuk, 22 home runs, but he had .238 and his OBP was only .285 if you're an OBP guy. You know, it's like, what can I live with? I've said this 100 times over. Everybody wants defense, right? Everybody wants a defensive player. People would lose their minds when they played Mejia. He's the best defensive infielder in the organization, and they'd lose their minds.
Yeah, but he only played for like 2 weeks.
No. But why is Mejia in this game? Why is he in this game? Well, you said you wanted better defense, okay? So this guy can't go tonight, so he put in the defender, and now you're losing your mind because the guy can't hit.
He can flat out pick it, though.
But that's my point. We had this conversation early in the year when Benji and I were talking about it. People wanted – now, Colton Wong wound up having a nice year, and it was a shame he got hurt and was dealing with some stuff at the end. But when Colton Wong was clearly a better defender than a couple other guys, okay, you asked yourself, what do I need from Colton Wong to let him play? What's the number? Same thing with Grichuk. If I get 20-something home runs from Grichuk and he plays decent defense in the outfield, where can I live with him from a batting average? And everybody wants to discard batting average. And I get that because you got some numbers or something, you're going to argue with me about it. But again, I've said it 100 times over. When you got second and third and two out, what good's a walk do you? I need a hit. I need a hit.
Yeah.
You know, and what good does a home run do in a 4-0 game and we lose 8-1? I needed a home run with second and third and us down a run. You know what I mean? And when those things happen, good things happen and you have a nicer season.
Yeah.
But when you get 20 bombs and 15 of them were solo shots, and I mean, you can't. I mean, that's just, again, that's why I'm not a big sabermetric guy. You know what?
But that's what made that stat so impressive a couple years ago when our pal, our co-host on here, was the assistant hitting coach when they hit 400 with two outs and runners in scoring position.
I don't think it was with two outs. I think it was just with runners in scoring. Okay. I don't know. Whatever it was.
It was ridiculous.
It was ridiculous. But okay.
You had a fan.
You had a special season. That's right. And as a fan, what you watched was another hit. Another hit with runners scoring. You just kept watching it.
Right.
I didn't need any stats. No. I knew.
You felt it every time somebody got up. Oh, he's going to get a hit. And now all of a sudden somebody gets up and it's second and third and one out. You're like, shit, watch this. We're going to figure out how to get thrown out at the plate on a base hit.
I mean,
And that's frustrating.
It is. Well, yeah.
And you don't need numbers. If you're a fan, you don't live by the numbers. And if you're a baseball guy, there's the eye test. And you can tell.
Well, my guess would be it should or shouldn't be, or whatever, however you want to put it. It should be a combination of both, right? It's like I know today on the Rally Squirrel Report, the special one for the Rally Squirrel Club, we've got Coach Darren Hendrickson coming in from St. Louis University who throws BP for the Cardinals, okay? He's around them every day. He listens to the conversations. He knows what they're trying to do. He sees things behind the scenes that we don't see. We're going to talk a little bit about it because I've had some conversations with him. You know, almost the to bunt or not to bunt, that is a question. To move runners, you know, those days are interestingly long gone. And he'll tell you how sad it is that there's people that'll look at him and say, you know, the numbers say you just shouldn't bunt. And he's sitting there going, yeah, I know that, but man, I coach a team and I've got this eighth place hitter and I got first and second and nobody out and I know I'm not supposed to bunt, but God darn it, I have no faith in this guy to get a hit. And I know for a fact, though, that if I move these runners over to second and third, that guy can come in from third with less than two outs a whole lot easier than he can from second base with two guys that don't hit very well. Because the numbers still tell me that this guy's only going to get a hit 24% of the time.
Right.
And can he get a hit for me in a tough spot?
You never know.
It's like I said, I loved Roland in the booth the other night with Mlevin. He basically was ripping apart all this sabermetric stuff. He's like, you know, hey, Joey. You know, he's talking about Joey Votto. Did you get any hits today, or were they all walks? Because, like, runs matter. RBIs matter. Like, you got to score more runs than the other team. I get it. And the guys are going to go, well, you don't know what you're talking about. You know, you got to get on base. Ultimately, the whole goal is to get on base. And da-da-da-da-da-da. And it's like, okay, so, again, we're back to what I said earlier.
You can argue anything.
So if it's second and third and you walk and the next guy doesn't get his OBP up, then you get nothing. I've said it 100 times over, and I know this is wishful thinking because we lived with guys that were proven in here, but give me a guy that can hit any day. Give me a guy. I'm telling you this right now. I would rather have a guy that can hit 300 and have an OBP of 350 than a guy that hits 240 and has a 400 OBP. I'm sorry. There's no way you're ever going to convince me that one's better than the other. You're not. I want the guy that can hit.
Yeah. But no. You can manipulate stats and you can argue them.
Well,
exactly where you're coming from, your narrative. So, you know, that's where I don't get caught up. I don't even pay attention to that when people go off on the social media. I know that's your job, part of it, and you like doing it and getting people's dander.
People hate Yachty hitting fifth. He had 82 RBIs this year.
Yeah, I think he had a fine year. I think he had a great Yachty year, right? I think that you look at it and you go, boy, I wish we had a different five-hole hitter. But Yachty-wise, I think he had a great year for what Yachty is.
But here was my thing about that this year, too, and if you look at it. And then we're going to take a short break after this comment. But here was my thing. I did see a lot of complaining about why is Yachty batting fifth. Well, I'll tell you why he's batting fifth. He's batting fifth because the guy that should probably be batting fifth is batting third or fourth.
Yeah, true that.
You're talking about a baseball team that does not have a three or four hitter. How do you fix that?
Listen, either got to get one or you got to find one somewhere, right?
But that's my point. Because we're fans and we want to believe, we were expecting good things from a flawed team. I'm sorry. We were. We were expecting really good things from a flawed team. Really, really good things from a flawed team.
Yeah.
And again, I love DeJong, Rodney. I love Paul DeJong. He's made me a believer. I didn't think he could play short. He got better as the year went on. Okay? Even a couple of the errors he made, those are, you know.
They were errors.
That's right. And if you love the game and you watch it and you watch how good these shortstops are, they were errors made because he's not a true shortstop. That's what it looked like to me. But, man, he made an awful lot of good plays. Okay? That, for instance, Jed Jerko didn't make last year when they asked him to play short, to be completely honest. Okay? So again, they got their work cut out from this offseason. I'm going to tell you, if this offseason's uneventful, I don't know why we would expect anything different next year. I really don't. I have no reason. You've literally got to turn this roster over a little bit. There's got to be a couple adds, and there's got to be some addition by subtraction on this roster. Roster. Okay? There has to be some addition by subtraction. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that when we come back from break. Before we go, we want to remind you, make sure you check us out, twobirdsonabat.com. That's our website. It's where you can find the podcast. It's also where you can subscribe to the show. Getting ready to go to once a week. In the off season, we do the show once a week, so you can expect it in that format. You know, we got some things planned. Going to talk a little bit about Cardinal history. I know everybody really, really enjoyed Coach Pyle when he was on and his knowledge of the game, but also, you know, he's lived through years and years and years of Cardinal history, and being the fan that he was, I mean, he can speak pretty eloquently about a lot of things. So going to find a way to involve him in the show from his humble confines down in Florida while he, you know, in his retirement. He'll try to get him to call in, and we'll pick out some great moments and have him call in and give his take on living through that time period and what was going on and just what it felt like to be a part of that history. So happy to have you guys. Again, that's twobirdsonabat.com. Check us out on social media. We love to have you guys part of those conversations. You can find us on Twitter at Birds on a Bat Show. On Facebook, you simply type in Two Birds on a Bat. Our ask of you both of those ways is just to follow us, like our stuff. If you see the show, please share it around in an effort to reach all the great Cardinal fans out there. We're now on Instagram. You can find us at Two Birds on a Bat Show out there on Instagram. Please follow us on Instagram. And again, please join in anytime we post something. We're happy to have you guys be a part of the discussion. Some of the great Facebook pages that are out there that have helped the show grow to the leaps and bounds that it has this year, and we owe that all to the fans and everybody that loves being a part of it. Cardinals Freaks website, happy to be affiliated with them for sure. Cardinals Nation, Cardinals 24/7. Chris Lawless does such a great job. Hoping that we can get him in here. We've been playing around with this 100 times over, trying to get him in. I see he's kind of wanting to get something going himself, maybe talk a little bit about Cardinal baseball. Chris, I know you're listening. You're always welcome to hop in here and share your opinion as it's earned, because you do a great job providing unbelievable area for people to just really share their fandom and be a part of Cardinal Nation. Of course, rallysquirrel.com, the great Facebook page. It kind of took us they don't have wings, do they, squirrels? But took us under their limb and helped us grow.
There's some flying squirrels out there.
There's some flying squirrels out there. But we appreciate everything Nate McHenry and the rallysquirrel.com Facebook page did for us and the growth of our show. That's why we were happy to partner with him for the premium Rally Squirrel Club, which you guys can learn more about by going to rallysquirrel.com. For less than the price of a cup of coffee, you guys can join that exclusive club, get some interesting content from us that isn't shared throughout these airwaves. You know, some private stuff behind closed doors that we try to bring you when we can, that's special. But the neatest thing about the club is you guys are in for all these great prizes as a part of his relationship with Fan Cave Sports, the autograph memorabilia, the apparel and things like that. We give away on that premium portion of the show, and all you got to do is be a member and you're eligible. So if you want to learn more about that, make sure you check it out at rallysquirrel.com. And again, special thanks to Nate and everybody over there at Rally Squirrel. And of course, before we do go to break, you'll notice Steve mentioned it. The sadness is that our friend Benji has left town, won't be back for a little while. There's a rumor he might be back in January for a day or two to help out our friend with his event. If that works out, we'd love to have him back in the studio. But it'll be over the airwaves on the m4byyachty.com hotline as usual, starting with the show on Thursday. And, you know, we'll miss our pal because we like hanging around with him, experiencing some of the great eats here in St. Louis, and he's just a great guy to be around. St. Louis has really taken to Benji. I know he's become quite a figure within the media here, and it's really because, at the end of the day, he loves the Cardinals, and he loves the fans, and he's positive, and he's straight shooter, and, you know, let's face it, he's part of that baseball royalty with the Molina family. So no Benji today, but he'll be back on Thursday, and, you know, we do appreciate everything he's done, as well as lineupmedia.fm. Couldn't do the show without the fastest-growing podcast company on the planet being in our back pocket. Happy to have them and all their shows be a part of our family. Make sure you check them out, lineupmedia.fm. They take your entertainment time very seriously. I promise you, you'll find something over there you like besides this show, even if you don't like this show and you're listening because you hate it. No problem with us. Speaking of support, couldn't do the show without Steve and his wonderful wife, Emily Flowers, and all their support with their wonderful mortgage company. For all your mortgage needs, they're just asking for an opportunity for your business. Steve, I think we're going to get the, we're going to ramp up the contest this year. Are we not? We talked a little bit about it on the golf course Friday. Going to do the opening day thing, two tickets opening day. If all you got to do, starting immediately. All you have to do right now. So really we got all winter. Okay. Here's the deal. If you call Steve Flowers, you're going to hear the numbers.
618-655-0483.
All you got to do is call Steve and talk to him about your mortgage needs. You don't even have to fill out an application. All you got to do is call him and let him explain to you why he deserves an opportunity for your business. That's all you got to do. It's going to take your name and number, okay? If you say, you know what, Steve, I'm going to go a different route, no thanks, but put me in that contest, he's going to take your name and phone number, and you're going to be entered into the contest. Now, here's the deal. You get one entry if you just call him and talk to him about your mortgage needs. Okay? If you actually fill out an application, you get 5 entries. If you do the loan with him, you get 20. It's that simple. All you got to do is call the guy. 2 tickets for opening day baseball holiday here in St. Louis. 2 tickets for opening day. We don't have it official yet, but our hope is Benji will be doing the Spanish broadcast for all the home. That's the hope. They're working on it. So we might even add in a cool meet and greet before the game. We'll all get together. Hang out with Benji and the crew, Polo and the group.
Maybe have a lunch.
Yeah, do all that kind of stuff. So you're going to want to be a part of this. Again, real quick, call him, talk to him about mortgage. Any question. You can call him and say, hey, I'm a dumbass. I don't even know what it is. Whatever you want to do. You can say, hey, you could call him and say, hey, this is my rate. Is it a good rate? Yep. Okay, goodbye. Click. Name and phone number. You're in the contest. Very simple.
Yeah, make sure you give me your name and phone number.
Yeah, you got to do that.
Click me, yeah.
Name and phone number, and you're in. You get an entry. If you let the guy fill out an application on you so that he can at least tell you what he can do for you, what did we say, 5?
5.
5. And if you say, you know what, you're my guy, here's 20. You get 20.
Hey, listen, the rates are great. So if you're looking for a refinance, now's the time to do it. Finish it off before the holiday season. Skip a couple of payments.
Well, that's
be
the
awesome.
Big thing right now that's going on. I know a lot of people are like, man, I can skip 2 payments. I can use that for Christmas, lower my rate, take a little cash out of the situation. Listen, again, there's a million reasons. Let's hear from him and his wonderful wife when we come back. Okay, we're going to finish up talking a little bit about this season and kind of get prepped for the offseason. See you guys on the other side.
Hey, Cardinals fans. This is Steve and Emily Flowers with Supreme Lending. When we're not watching our Redbirds chase another world championship, we're helping buyers finance their dream home.
That's right. Whether you're a first-time home buyer looking for down payment assistance or an experienced buyer looking for your next move, you deserve the best. So call us now at 618-655-0483. We have all the bases covered when it comes to your next home loan. FHA, USDA, VA, and conventional. We do it all here at Supreme Lending.
Homeowners, with our refinance programs, you could lower your rate, get cash out to consolidate debt, or even remodel that bathroom, kitchen, or the outdoor space you've been dreaming of.
The bases are loaded in your favor here at Supreme Lending. Call us at 618-655-0483 or visit us online at steveflowers.supremelending.com or search us on Facebook at Steve and Emily Flowers-Supreme Lending.
Go Birds!
All programs and terms are subject to change without notice and subject to underwriting approval. Supreme Lending, NMLS 2129, is not affiliated with a government agency. Steve Flowers, NMLS 227652. Emily Flowers, NMLS 1256327. Missouri Company Registration 17-2156. Branch NMLS ID 1453720. Located at 361 1 Richardson Square Drive, Suite 200. Equal housing lender.
Great stuff, bud. Hey, and your wife last night on point. Well, I know you did the cooking on the grill, but the stuff she made on the side, awesome stuff.
Yeah, great she stuff. Does. She does
and then
a
she cleaned
too.
Up.
Oh, okay.
That was the thing. She cleaned up while you showed off all your Ozzie Smith stuff to Benji and Polo. And Ben
yeah.
Boyd.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
It was great having Ben over last night, too. I know he's heavily involved in the sports scene here in St. Louis on KMOX, but it was good stuff. But Yeah,
good times, that's for sure. So had a great dinner last night, and steaks. I mean, this is all on the grill.
Steaks, ribs,
chicken. Some salads, some potatoes, some beans, some asparagus.
Even the cookies were on point.
The cookies.
On point.
So everything. And then we got to show off the man cave downstairs, which is something awesome. I did have one question for you.
Yep, hit me.
Out of that rally squirrel report that we're doing,
yes.
right?
Yes, yes.
So when they sign up.
Yep.
How do they get that podcast? Is it through? Can they listen to it on their phone, or how does that podcast?
They get invited to a club, and they get it sent to them. It gets sent right to their email. They can click on it and listen to it right there.
Okay.
And then they also are part of a club where they're logged into a certain website, and they can get in. They can actually listen to any of the old episodes once they're logged in. So
because that's awesome. I mean, the stuff that he's given away, and then I can't even remember if we said something the other day. So in walks in Benji when they announced that Yachty was done for the season, basically.
Right.
And he walks in with a bat that will eventually give away for some contest.
Yeah. A game bat.
Not
used. This is one he didn't use, but it's not like the Rawlings big stick.
The
$30 bat that they signed to use for all these things. This is his bat.
Right. He had a couple of other things.
Like bats he looked at and thought, you know what, I don't like the grain in this one. You know, that's what he does with those.
So, I mean, that wasn't Benji or Two Birds on a Bat.
Well, that was Yachty.
Because Yachty has been on the show a couple times.
Yeah.
He's like,
and we support M4 by Yachty, which means a lot to Yachty because of his the money's for all his charities and the things that he does. This Puerto Rico thing means a lot to him. You know, I know
he flew out yesterday.
Well, yeah,
after
we
the
were.
Game.
Yeah, I mean, which again, no issue. I mean, like we had all these grand plans. We were going to do steaks and things and Yachty and Benji and Polo and everybody were coming to your house, and we were looking forward to it, right?
Absolutely.
Well, Yachty's like, hey guys, if we don't make the playoffs, I'm out. I'm going down. I got these containers. I need to get this stuff to put. Absolutely. I mean, come on. So, yes, he's out. He's on his way down there. But the guy is so appreciative. He's like, I appreciate everything you guys are doing. You know, and again, I would say that I've said this 1,000 times. I think he's on this team for sure. He's the most appreciated player from the fan base. There's a variety of reasons. I've told you that. I mean, of what I think. I mean, it's number one, I mean, just the defensive. St. Louis loves guys like that, right? I mean, like all the way into the hockey, like they love the enforcers. They like the guys that play hard, that stand up, that do lots of block shots. They've always liked those. St. Louis, man, we love guys that are slick on defense and play the game the right way and do all this kind of stuff. Then you add in, like I said, I've always said 2006, he hits the home run against the Mets, and all of a sudden this guy now is a hero, right? From not just how good he is as a player, now he's a hero, right?
Right.
And then, if we ever need any more, then, Brandon Phillips, he says, I don't think so.
Classic.
I get chills thinking about it. Because as a fan base, what do you always say? Let's talk more action, right?
Right.
So, again, this year's an example. Raise your hand. I'll raise my hand. Raise your hand if you thought, Father Time. Raise your hand.
Yeah,
I'm with you. You got your hand up. I got my hand up. Benji wouldn't put his hand up because he'd say, I don't put anything past. And I get that. That's the baseball player mentality.
Right.
And that's what other people understand. These guys have to think that way. They have to think that they can get the – it's so hard mentally. Okay, it's so hard. But you take a look at him. I mean, come on, he had a great season offensively. Unbelievable. And at the end of the year is what was amazing, when a catcher usually wears down. So, He's heart and soul, guts player, and let me tell you, he is the kind of player that I promise you when he's gone, you're going to miss him. I don't care who replaces him. I don't care who replaces him. You know what I mean?
Right.
I've said this 100 times over. He could have left. He could have not got his contract and went somewhere and finished his last 2 years somewhere else, and I promise you, you would have missed him. I don't care what the situation would have been. There's a lot that goes into this thing. It's not just a number on a paper. I mean, it's a big deal.
Hey, side note on that. I think we brought it up last time we were in here. We were talking about Yachty and that fantasy football thing and that stupid trade I made to him. But I did get a bottle of Johnny Walker Blue out of it. Yeah. So,
which I think is bullshit, by the way. And I'm going to tell Yachty that. I'm going to say, listen, let me get this straight. So you can throw in stuff in your trades. Yeah. Nobody wants, like, if in the fantasy league, nobody wants an autographed bat from me
right.
or you. But if he says, hey, man, I got a gamer here. I'm going to throw my number and name on it. You know, come on.
So I made a bad trade with him. He wore me down.
No, but he yachted you.
He got yachted. But we
it's
all.
It's Yachty. I'm going
to
make the trade.
We all donated our entry fee to his GoFundMe page for Puerto Rico, he's down handling now.
Right.
So basically, I'm a net zero right now.
Because it's fun. Now it's just all fun. Right?
I'm probably a plus because of the tax deduction.
Come on.
If you think about it.
Right.
So at the end of the day, he makes me a bad trade.
Right.
And one of the players that I give him in return, which it makes it the worst one, is Dalvin Cook, who blows out his ACL yesterday, and the trade goes through tomorrow.
So he's getting Dalvin
Cook. He's getting damaged goods.
Oh, so now you feel like it was...
It might work out in my favor, where I basically got three good players for one good player and a...
Who were the players you traded him? Cook and who?
DeAndre Hopkins, who had an absolute monster game yesterday.
Wow.
And, I didn't get the return, but I got a bottle of Johnny Walker Blue.
Well, I hope you enjoy that Johnny Walker Blue.
Yes, absolutely. Two finger pours.
I gotta be real honest with you. If Yachty, if I made the trade with him like you did, I'd just say, hey, just sign the bottle, and it'd sit on my it'd be a conversation piece on my bar.
Well, if you happen to forget, Jim, as one
I
of
know
the,
your father-in-law, that'll
yes,
and that's the
but
other
no,
thing.
No, 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 but no, no. Remember, you in your former days, you had a lot of connection. You said, hey, bud, I appreciate you doing everything. We've coached together.
Yep.
You go, I'm gonna get you a present. What kind of bottle do you want? I said, hey, give me a bottle of Johnny Walker Blue.
Right,
because I've had it before, it's awesome. And so you went out and you got me a Christmas present. I've never opened that bottle, Jim. Never. It sits on the shelf down
there.
You
want me to sign it?
It's been. You want to sign it? You can sign
it. I mean, I will.
But it's going to be open because I'm going to keep the Yachty one unopened.
But that's my point. So see, that's the thing. So you have me sign mine, and then you can say, "Hey, you know, that was my boy. We coached together. He says thank you." Blah blah blah. You do the same thing with Yachty. You say, "Well, there's an interesting story behind the Yachty bottle. It's an autographed bottle from Yachty because I got Yachty'd on a trade, and I thought the least thing I'm going to get out of this is an autographed bottle of Johnny Walker Blue from Yachty, so that when everybody says, "Hey, what's the deal with that?" I can tell them. I made a bad trade with Yachty or Molina.
he just wore me down.
Well, that's what happens. So anyway, back to the season. So really, we could sit here for an hour and talk about what happened, but we all know what happened. Okay, the bottom line is this, and again, I'm going to get hammered for this because it's going to come across wrong. Okay. I don't know that anybody was really. How do I say this? I'm not like, okay, what I mean by hammered is I can't sit here and say Tommy Pham wasn't good enough. I can't do that. I can't say Yachty wasn't good enough.
So that's the question. Did we overachieve or did we underachieve?
Well,
look at the roster. What is your call on it?
Well, here's what I'm going to say. If we had a proven guy that we could pencil in at number three every day, and if we would have had a guy to close out games, I think we're in. All right. Now, here's the deal about the closer thing. And it was a mess, too. We lost a lot of games before the closer ever even would have came in, though, too.
We did.
So the bullpen in general was a mess. Okay. So the bullpen needs to be fixed. And it's not going to get fixed by just one guy. Now, what you can say is, well, Jim, the bullpen is kind of fixed. I mean, we realized that, you know, Tui got better as the year went on. So maybe you can count on him next year, but there's the word maybe, right? Because, guys, that's what the bullpen always is. It's always maybe.
But everybody's bullpen is
that's right. That's right. So, see, I'm of the belief that most teams and managers look a whole lot better when their bullpen's good that year. And you don't have to look any further than look at the great managers. How do they lose? They lose because their bullpens aren't very good. I mean, it's that simple. We talked about it with Benji. I mean, nobody's tighter with Bochy than Benji. I mean, he'll tell you, he's a good manager, great manager. But what's he going to do if his bullpen's no good? It doesn't matter. And he even said that, you know, Bochy would ask him about guys, and he told Bochy, he said, listen, I wouldn't bring him in. And Bochy would say, yeah, but that's my guy.
Right.
This is more than just about today.
So let me tell you baseball philosophy, what you hear and what you never hear. This is what you hear on every pregame speech.
Okay.
Hey, let's see some pitches. Let's take smart at-bats. Let's work the counts, and let's get into their bullpen. Every pregame speech.
Yep.
Here's what you don't hear. Hey, guys, swing early, okay? Let's try to keep it close and keep this guy in there so we can hit home run in the ninth inning and win it.
Right.
You never hear that. That is never – you never want to keep the starter in there for nine innings. That's bad. Get the starter out in four or five. Get another bullpen. Why? You've said it a million times. Bullpen guys
aren't as good as starters.
Aren't as good as starters. So you want to see pitches, work counts, play smart baseball, get another bullpen.
And that's a great theory. And it works when you see a lot of pitches and you get some runners on and you get a few hits and then the pitch count. It doesn't work when you take a lot of tough pitches and that's when a guy's got you. See, that's the thing. We get upset when that happens, okay? We get upset when that happens. But when a professional athlete makes quality pitches and gets us out, we get all bent out of shape, right? Because we want to win, right? I mean, can't believe we're doing it. But that's what they're supposed to be doing, right? Right?
Right.
Okay. So, again, it's a tough thing because it's real easy to sit there and go, yeah, take a lot of pitches. Let's see some pitches. Let's work the count. But then you're sitting there going, look, man, this guy's dealing. If I take fastballs for strikes, I'm never going to hit.
Right.
See, that's the thing. Hitting looks so easy, and it looks really, really easy to people. And again, I'm not – this has nothing to do with, like, talking down or anything. But the game looks really, really easy if you never played it. Okay? Now, if you played it and you never played it at a higher level, you sit there and go, well, you know, you do this and this and this. Imagine playing it at that level, how hard it is. That's why – and again, you can think whatever you want to think – but when you watch, if you ever watch a game with Benji like we have, or you watch these guys that sit in the booth, like everybody likes Jim Edmonds and the way he talks about the game, you know why? Because they're matter of fact about the failure part of it. Because they know how hard it is. It doesn't matter what, you can do all this stuff and it's still, I mean, what's the one sport we talk about all the time that you can go work, work, work and have zero, you can get zero results from work? That's baseball. I mean, going to the cage for 3 hours doesn't mean you're going to go get three hits.
No, absolutely.
I mean, it's a beat down game, right? So it's really, really hard.
No.
But then a lot of fans say, well, but they're the professionals. They're supposed to hit. Well, yeah, they're supposed to hit. I mean, do you think they don't want to hit? I mean,
Right. Well, the other thing you think about is the thing that drives me absolutely insane is to get 0-2 on somebody, then all of a sudden you're trying to make a pitch and make them chase and everything like this. If you think about the levels of baseball.
But what's that a result of? What is that a result of? What is that? Listen, what
not
is
having
that?
An out pitch?
No,
maybe?
No.
About?
What is that a direct result of? Even for the player himself, because God forbid you give up a hit on 0-2 because you put one in the strike zone.
I see where
you're. Oh my God, so, you can't give up a hit on 0-2. Why'd you throw such a good pitch?
So, but my point I was making on that was you got to understand that if you throw, no matter what the count is, every one of these guys has the ability to take it deep and go. It's not like Little League where you go, oh, it's a ninth batter. Hey, or I'll just throw him a fastball because right in the middle, because at best he's going to be a 300 hitter right down the middle. At best, he's probably more like a 200 hitter because he's batting ninth. These guys, a bat fastball right down the middle, 0-2, 1-2, 2-0, they have the ability to hit at 400 feet. So,
or
you
not
know,
miss it. I mean, they tell me he's a great mistake hitter. Well, they're all great mistake hitters.
Exactly. So my point is one of the things that frustrates me is nibbling and everything. But at the end of the day, that's what they have to do because these guys are all great, great hitters, especially if you're going to miss over the middle of the plate.
Well, and then, you know, now with technology and with all these things, we know, you know, and again, I it's funny. I watched Moneyball for the first time over the weekend. That's a good story. We know where their hot zones are and where their cold zones are, right? So now, to the average fan, it's simple. Well, you know he hits 400 when you throw it up and in, and he hits 200 when it's down and away. We know, I mean, don't throw it down and away. Okay, well, okay. So I laugh about that because if you pay attention to the game at all, most of the time when a pitcher gets hurt, what do you notice Yadi doing when a pitcher gets rocked? What do you notice behind the plate? I can tell you what you notice.
He's typically
set up somewhere and reaches back across the plate with his glove.
Yep.
So was it the pitch or was it the execution of the pitch? It was the execution of the pitch. And it's not a Cardinal thing. If you really enjoy the game and watch both sides, how many times have you seen Randall Grichuk or Colton Wong or Dexter Fowler or Tommy Pham for that matter? How many times have you seen them do damage against other clubs? And it's the catcher reaching across the middle of the plate to get a pitch that missed.
It's hard to throw like that, man. It's hard to hit spots.
That's why great pitchers that can hit their spots like that are great. That's why everybody's Greg Maddux.
Exactly.
Now, when Luke Weaver or Flaherty or even Adam Wainwright or Lance Lynn or whoever are hitting their spots, they're going to be on that day and they're going to be hard to hit. Any pitcher is. But then you make a mistake. And, you know, it's a fine line, right? I mean, it's a tough game. And sometimes you're either good enough to overcome mistakes or you're not. Ultimately, at the end of the day, I thought we were a good team, but not good enough to overcome mistakes.
So the third column that we always joke around about is WLS, wins, losses, and should haves. Now we lost.
Well, that's 30, like plays that should be made.
Right, but that's
theirs,
yeah. We've lost 30 some odd games having a lead going into the seventh inning. How many of those games were should haves, you think? We should have won. And they're not all that way because you got to tip your cap to the other team for hitting. But how many games? Do you think a dozen?
I don't know. I mean, you know, they got a stat for everything out there. I always love the bullpen management stuff. Again, I've said 100 times over, my problem is, and I've seen it happen just like everybody else says, my problem is when the manager brings a guy in and assumes he's going to have success. That's my biggest problem with Mike. Okay? And besides the fact that he probably likes a couple players more than I like them, but who am I, right? I mean, what do I know? But that's fine. The one thing, like, and that's debatable, right? Like, my opinion of Randall Grichuk versus Piscotty versus whoever is always debatable. I mean, what do I know? But the one thing that he does that I think is not for debate is he routinely brings in a guy and assumes he's going to do his job.
Shouldn't you be able to do that, though?
Well, yeah, but, I mean,
it doesn't always happen.
And we've said that relief pitchers, bullpen guys are bullpen guys because why? Because they're not as good as starters.
Right.
So, you know, I'm not a big fan of not being prepared two batters ahead. Now, I also said, like the other night, for example, and I stand by it, that, I mean, it takes time for a guy to get loose, right? So you can't just say, oh, my God, he's given up three hits in a row. We got to get him out. Well, yeah, you get him out if somebody's loose. Right? Now, should somebody be loose? Yes or no? That was a total another conversation. A guy at 60 pitches that has retired 10 in a row and given up two not very good hits is debate. You know, we can debate that till the cows come home. Now, when you bring in a right-hander in the seventh inning and you don't have a left-hander and your next right-hander, and here, I'm going to say this, unless you're prepared to finish the game with him, why do you not have your next two best options throwing, getting loose?
Right.
Getting ready to get ready in a hurry. That's always my problem. Always has been. Always has been. Now, in his defense, number one, you can't defend that. And that is the question I would ask him. I would never ask him, why'd you go to him versus him? Because at the end of the day, the answer to that question to me is the same. I don't know, because none of them are very good, and they weren't. I have compared it to pulling a pin on a grenade and wondering if it's going to explode or not. Is this one going to be a dud or not? Or what am I going to get today? Because that's kind of what it was for him this year. It really was. And look, hey, it started with the first game of the year. Didn't the first game of the year plan out the way you thought you had your season planned out? Didn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hey, we took the lead. Bring it on. And then that didn't work out, but somehow we got the win, right?
Right.
And then you and I went to a game, right, the next day? Was it the next day or 2 days later? And we get a lead? And, oh, here comes our $9 million left-handed reliever to face Babe Ruth from the Cubs, and boom, all of a sudden, we lose.
Yep.
Okay.
It was early and often this season.
Well, and so that's kind of my point. Okay. I mean, I brought in our new guy that, okay, that didn't work. Boy, O's not working. I mean,
Rosie.
Well, he can't throw back-to-back days. In fact, I believe, and I know this happened, we had an incident early in the year where he didn't throw, and then they had an off day, and then he showed up and said, I still can't go. But everybody was mad at Mike for not bringing him in without knowing that the guy showed up and said, I can't go today. And it came out later, right? So, you know, we find out here at the end of the season, Tyler Lyons, you know, he's hurt. Been pitching hurt. Gutting it up for the club. You know, why isn't Lyons? But you know, hey. So anyway, the bottom line is this. The bullpen just wasn't good enough. And again, for all of you out there that don't get it, okay, overuse and all this kind of stuff, that's what it is, man. It's funny how I went back and looked at some great bullpens in history, and they've got guys that threw as much as Bowman did. There's routinely guys out there throw 70-something times a year.
Yeah.
Routinely. 80. Sometimes get up as high as 80. Routinely. It's part of the gig, man. And I promise you, every one of those guys would just want, they're happy to have that chance. Call my name. I'm ready to go, coach. Call my name. If I can't go, I'll tell you. Because that's it. That's their shot to play in the league. And all these people that feel sorry for Luke Voit and Carson Kelly. Oh, I've seen these tweets. They robbed them of the opportunity to compete in Memphis for that title. You call them both right now and say, would you have rather been in Memphis or would you have rather been on that bench for the Cardinals? Why don't you go ahead and call them and ask them?
Oh, I'll play with the big league club.
I'll stay right here.
Yep, I'll be right here.
Yep, call them up. Well, it's hard when they don't get at bats. Well, welcome. Welcome to the league. Until you're a proven guy, that's how it is. Listen, not saying it's not easy. Who said it's easy? Who said it's easy? It wasn't easy for Carson Kelly or Luke Voit. Nope. But guess what? Game's not easy. It's not easy. Nope. It wasn't easy for a lot of these guys when they first come up.
They got to figure it out.
You know? And again, that doesn't... I don't know what bearing this has on the future for Luke Voit, Carson Kelly, Mejia, Valera. I can't even pronounce the other cat's name, but I don't know. I have no idea. But this is the way it works, man. And it's not exclusive to us. It's every club is that way. Everybody was having a cow over Matt Adams, right? Well, you saw what happened to his at-bats later in the year. I mean, Freeman come back and he couldn't play, I mean.
Yeah, they didn't find a spot for him in left field, did they?
Well, they tried.
Exactly.
Okay. Why'd they try? Because they needed offense. They wanted his bat in the lineup, so they gave it a try.
Didn't work.
Right? Everybody lost their mind here a year ago when they put Colton Wong in left field. Remember that? How can you do that? You're playing with his confidence. The guy's already kind of hurt. Now you're putting him out there. Now he's got a bad leg. Now you put him out there. You can't do that. The guy's never played outfield. Well, I tweeted this last week. No response. Unbelievably, nobody said a word. Did you see who's playing center field for the Cleveland Indians right now?
Kipnis.
Yeah. Second baseman's never played outfield. And he's hitting 230 with like 10 home runs. They're going to put him in center field.
I thought he was hitting like 330 until you pointed that out.
Yeah.
I'm like, isn't he tearing the cover off the ball? You're like, no, he's 230.
Yeah.
Maybe he's just a spark plug up there.
I don't know. But the great Terry Francona has decided that he's got to put Kipnis in center field. So a week before the playoffs, he's been putting him out there to get him ready. A week. Make me understand it. Joe Maddon puts Chris Bryant in the outfield all the time.
And Zobrist.
Yeah. Does it all the time.
And Schwarber.
Yeah.
Who else? He got everybody out there.
Does it all the time. See, and that's my point. A lot of people, again, I get back to the whole Matheny thing. I'm not a Matheny apologist. I just want some consistency. The bottom line is, you guys that want him fired, you just don't like him because he hasn't done anything in your mind to warrant being your manager because he hasn't won a World Series. And that's fine. Because, listen, you know as well as I do, off the record, I hold him as accountable as anybody, but that's fine.
Yeah.
But here's the deal. But I love the devil's advocate argument, and that's who I am. And so I'm always – this is an easy one to take the other side. And the reason it's easy is because everybody's lost their mind and want to blame him for everything. And that's where I am like, you people are crazy. You're crazy. You are so fixated on Matheny that you're willing to say that he inherited this World Series team. Well, yeah, he inherited a World Series team that just happened to lose the greatest player arguably in franchise history and in Major League Baseball, and its top pitcher. And you had an unsettled closer situation that you got a little lucky with. Right? Am I wrong?
You're completely right.
Right? And you did okay, and you did well the first 3 years. But a steady decline in the roster has been going on since 2012. Look at it, folks. Go back and look at it.
So
it's a steady decline that has amounted to what? A steady decline in where we sit in the pecking order. I'm sorry, folks. I love the Cardinals, and I like some of these guys. They're not good enough.
They're not Chris Bryant. They're not...
Hey, let me ask you a question. What do you think the Cubs fans felt like them years when we'd roll into Chicago or when we play our series? And it'd be Jim Edmonds, Scott Rolen, Albert Pujols, and then it was Albert Pujols, Jim Edmonds, or then Lance Berkman, Carlos Beltran. How do you think they felt? They felt the same way. Yeah. Now what are we rolling into town with? What are we rolling into town with? Jed Jerko. Paul Rodney DeYoung. That's what you're rolling into town with. And there's no Chris Carpenter.
No.
There's no guy at the back of the bullpen with 30 or 40 saves. What are we rolling into town with? We're rolling into town with everybody wants to talk about Matt Bowman. We're rolling into town with everybody wanting to talk about whether Yachty should be in fifth. And you think that intimidates somebody? Come on. We're not good enough. They got some problems. They got some changes to make over there.
Yeah, but are you...
The least of our problems is whether Yachty hits fifth, I assure you.
So we know we're not moving Yachty.
Nope.
Are you good with Rodney DeYoung at short?
Number one, you don't have another choice.
Right.
Unless you make a trade.
Obviously, I think everybody's on the table except for Yachty.
Well, you don't want to know what I would do. I would move Rodney DeYoung to... Listen, here's the deal.
To third?
Well, hang on.
Okay.
Hang on. Let me say this. I was getting ready to say that. But I was going to say, I'm moving Rodney DeYoung to third if I can go get Andrelton Simmons.
How about Escobar from KC?
No, can't hit. What do you want? You don't need another guy in here that can't hit.
The defense.
Again, if you want defense, just play Mejia at short.
All right.
Okay.
I get you there.
Okay.
And he's a lot cheaper than
Escobar. All right,
Escobar.
Just play Mejia at short. Bat him eighth, if that's what you want. Okay.
So are you living now, with Colton Wong at second?
I don't think you have a choice. I think you have to. Number one, you've already paid him. He had a fine year. If he's healthy, I have no problems with Colton Wong. I think he became the player we wanted him to be. Right? Played good defense. Hit the ball all fields. I still won't understand why he's an awful base stealer, but whatever. Whatever. Some guys can't do it. Speed has nothing to do with it. Everybody thinks it's speed. It's not just speed. Got to be good at it.
It's not speed.
Got to be good at it. Speed helps.
Speed can make up for what's really brains and jump.
But evidently his speed cannot make up for it.
Well, because he's not fast enough. He's fast, but he's not fast enough to make up for it. I mean, there's some guy. He doesn't have that speed.
Well, that's my point.
Yeah.
He's fast, but not fast enough to make up for the fact he's not a great base stealer. Simple. But my point is, you look at all this stuff. So I was going to sit here and say, yeah, no, I'm going to move him. And I'm going to do it's all what they're going to do. I promise you what they're going to do all depends on what they get done. And it could be a million different things. But so they could go into this thing with a plan, right? Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to target this, this, and this. But if that doesn't work out and they got to go another way, they could do this. So here's what I'm going to tell you. DeYoung's got to be in the lineup, but it's either going to be third or short. And it'll be third if they can go get a shortstop. But now they're rumored to be in on Josh Donaldson. Well, if they get Josh Donaldson, then where do you think DeYoung's going to play? He's going to play short. And now Jed Jerko can do what he does, and now you've improved because I would say he's better than Greg Garcia. Would you not?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you're getting rid of Garcia then,
yep.
Right? Because you're going to have Voight up there hitting. You're going to have Martinez
Let's just say, in all essence, what you essentially do there is you replace Garcia with Josh Donaldson, basically. And now Jerko becomes the guy that the Ben Zobrist moves around a lot, plays different positions. I assure you he can play second and third.
Oh, yeah, he can.
And if he had to spell a guy at short, he could.
He could play it. He could
play it for a game or two. So my point is you have that going on. Now, first base is always going to be interesting because I'd love to have Eric Hosmer. Love to have Eric Hosmer. Got to trade Carpenter to get him. Not to KC. I mean, you got to trade Carpenter. Which, interestingly enough, you wonder if they'd have any interest in him.
American League team?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And he could float back and forth until they find out what he could do. So it's interesting, right? But my point is, love to have Hosmer. Oh, you're better right away if you have Hosmer. Whew. Talk about a 3-4 hitter. Right?
Yep.
Right? Then you figure your outfield out. In my opinion, you can't go into next year like you did this year. You cannot go into next year not trying to decide who you're going to play between Jose Martinez, Randall Grichuk, and Stephen Piscotty. At this juncture, if you don't do anything with the other two, Fowler's going to play, Tommy Pham's going to play.
Correct.
Now, this is all predicated on what are they going to do.
And who are you going to get?
Now,
and can you get anything
for anybody? But here's the difference in the teams. Here's the difference. And this is what I was trying to say last week. And Benji wanted to focus in on the closer, and I'm fine with that. But he didn't understand what I was saying. What I was saying was, if I come to you and I say, guess what? We just traded for Josh Donaldson. Okay? And guess what else we did? We traded Carp, and we signed Hosmer. My question to you is this. Does it really fucking matter who plays right field? Grichuk, Piscotty, or Jose Martinez? No, because it's like it was back in the day. You can plug those guys in now because you've got guys that you are fairly certain what they're going to do. Just like when Daniel Descalzo played. Just like when Alan Craig came up and played. Just like when John Jay would play. Just like when some of these guys would play and you're like, and we'd pick on the same three guys because they weren't very good. And you'd be like, yeah, but somehow they win. Well, let me tell you how they win. They win because they're complementary players. We asked a bunch of complimentary guys to carry the water this year, and they're not Gunga Din. It's that simple. It's that simple. So it is.
No, I get it. No, you're absolutely right. But what are the odds of getting Donaldson and Hosmer JD Martinez?
I have no idea. That's the okay.
I mean, we're at the top of everybody's
okay,
at the
you
top
know why?
Of the list for
you know why?
Because we need somebody.
Because you know, here's what's interesting. Do you want to know why? Because we have obvious needs.
Yeah.
That's why. We have obvious needs, we have prospects, and we have money. So the quote unquote experts, we're at the top of the list. Why? Because we know we're not dumb. We have obvious needs. That's why.
Absolutely.
It's guys, it's not that hard. It's really not. We want to look for excuses. Screw the excuses. I'm done with excuses. I don't want any more excuses. I don't want any more conspiracy theorists about Matheny don't like this guy and he doesn't like this guy. Bullshit. There's a lot of things that go into play that we have know nothing about. Unfortunately, you and I know a few things that we can't say, okay?
Yep.
Now, here's the deal. I assure you, things are not always as they seem. So I tell you this, as I sit here today, they weren't good enough. They got to go get good enough. Now, it's their team. They got to figure out how to do that. Now they got to figure out how to do all this while keeping a fan base happy. And whether you like it or not, that plays into what they do. That's why I believe in my heart they're going to do something, because I think they know they have to do something. Is it enough? Well, we'll find out. I don't know. I'll tell you what. It's fresh. Season's over. We got a couple of days. Next week, on Thursday, okay, on Thursday, I really want to take a look. I want you to go home, and I want you to look at this team. And I want to know, if you're the GM, what do you do? And I'm going to say this. I'm not going to ask you, what do you do, because that's easy. I'm going to ask you, what do you try to do? If you're the GM, what would you try to do? Because, again, we go back to what I said 10 minutes ago. You can have all these great plans. Like, again, everybody wants to trade Matt Carpenter. Well, who wants him?
Who wants Jerko? Who wants Garcia?
Correct.
Who wants Martinez?
Correct.
Does Pham have value? Does Piscotty have value? Grichik?
Very typically.
Up and down the line.
That's right. So typically, what a lot of people don't understand is typically moves are made because that was the move you could make and you felt like you improved your club.
Right. I mean,
it may not have been your desired move, but at the end of the day, you couldn't get done what you wanted to get done. Hey, this goes back to what I said, what was it, a month ago? A month and a half ago? About Stanton. If you really wanted him, why didn't you put in a claim? It wouldn't have been that hard. You just put in the claim. If you put in the claim on Stanton and you're the St. Louis Cardinals, what is the worst thing that could have happened? You tell me. You put in the claim. What's the worst thing that could have happened?
They say no. They take him back.
No. That's not even the worst. Otherwise, listen.
They give him to you.
That's right. For nothing. For the money. So that was my point. Them saying no and taking him back, no harm, no foul. Them saying, okay, let's work out a trade. Well, you did something you thought improved your club, right? Inside that trade may have been a figured out mutual agreement on, okay, well, we're going to give you this guy and this guy, but because you're getting this guy, we need you to eat some money. Or guess what? We'll eat some money, or we'll take all the money, and you just take these two guys, blah, 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 right? Right?
Right.
So you're happy. You got your deal done. The only reason not to put the claim in is because you're scared they were going to go, he's yours. That's the only reason. There is zero reason not to put a claim in if you supposedly really wanted him. And now we're rumored to want to talk to him this year about a trade. Are you going to tell me the trade value now isn't more than it was 2 months ago? Because why? Because now everybody can negotiate with him. You had an opportunity to be the only team for 24 hours to try to figure out a way to bring him here, and you didn't even put a claim in on him. Why? The only reason is because you were scared that they were going to say, he's all yours. Good luck with the contract. That's it. So you tell me I'm supposed to believe for a minute that an organization that wasn't willing to put in a claim for fear of just getting a contract is in on him?
So does that tell you they had bigger off-season plans?
What bigger off-season plan can there have than to get a guy like him for nothing?
But what I'm saying is, does it tell
you? You got all your prospects. You got all these prospects that are supposedly ready to go.
Yeah.
You're going to tell me you couldn't have went out and traded a couple of these veterans and saved a few bucks and brought up some veterans and penciled that guy in at number three?
But that's what I'm saying. Does it make more sense that, okay, well, if it is, all we're going to do is get saddled with the contract, that they had some off-season plans and they were like, we'll see what we got here, see what happens, but we want to do X, Y, and Z is where we want to move.
Sure. But we're back to my original point. What's the worst thing that could have happened? You could have went into this offseason, had that problem filled, and your only job now is to say, okay, we still have some holes, but guess what else we're going to do? We're going to call around to some American League teams and go, hey, we need to shave a little payroll because we took on Stanton, and we got other things to do. We think we can live without Carp. I can promise you this. Here's the problem with trading Carp. It's not trading Carp. It isn't like he makes a ton of money. He makes a decent salary. What's it, $15 million or something?
Okay.
In today's baseball, that's not that much for a guy that has 100 walks, 20-something home runs, whatever, right?
Right.
I guarantee you there's some American League teams that if you said, give us your best offer for Carp. I know it's not going to be any of your top couple prospects. You'd probably get him. Yeah. I don't think trading would be hard if you didn't feel like you had to get something for him. They're in a position now where they got to get something for him, I think, right? But if you go out and get Stanton, if you get Stanton and then you say, you know what? We're going to trade a couple guys that make a little bit of money. They already did so with Leak. Now they do it with Carpenter. Now we're going to go get a closer. So we got Stanton. We got the closer. we'll go with the young guy at first and Voit or Jose Martinez, right? And we got our prospects still. And we still have our prospects. So let's see how this year goes. And we can make some more moves and get better. Or just see what happens. Either way, you have to explain to me how putting in a claim on a guy that you're supposedly linked to now was a bad idea.
Let's get Mo on the phone. Can we get him?
Listen.
We should get him.
My buddy Todd Hennister, who I'm going to have on the show, I love talking about it. He attended something as a season ticket holder last week, and they all got to ask a question. And he said, he goes, you know what? I asked a question. I can't remember what it was, but he said, you know, could have been a jerk off and asked something. But, you know, you're big and tough until you get there, and you respect the guy, right?
Like, right.
The bottom line is he's gracious with his time and doing all this. So you veer away from being a jerk off, right? And you say, okay, I'm gonna do it. There's some people listening going, screw that. I tell him what I think. Well, whatever, that's fine. But my point is, I would honestly ask him. I'd say, you got to explain to me why you didn't even put the claim in. Why?
It'd be interesting to find out.
Because here's my thing. There's only two answers. Well, we were scared they'd just let him have him. We'd just get him. Or the other answer is it would have been a waste of time. I would have said, well, either answer to me is not good enough. Not with this team. It's not good enough.
Something else to it, like
we didn't like him. We don't want him.
He's not a model match. He's not a culture fit.
Again, I would love to give him the opportunity to say that. Now, I can promise you this as I sit here today, he's not going to say that.
No, you can't.
Even if they know it.
Right.
But all you've done now is taken me back to what I just said a minute ago. This all goes back to one thing. I'm now supposed to believe we're in on him?
That's major league experts saying that, not Cardinals.
Okay,
right?
That's my point.
Yeah.
Kind of my point. So, I don't know, man. A lot to do. So there's your task for Thursday. I want you to look at this club and say, okay, I've decided. Here's what I'm doing. Here's what I'm going to try to do. Here's my off-season plan for the Cardinals on the GM. Here's what I'm going to do. I'll have you mine. Okay?
All right. When do pitchers and catchers report, and have we decided if we're going to Jupiter or Arizona?
Well, the thing about going to Arizona, if we go, because we stay at Benji's, he's got Casa de Molina there, right? He's got the swimming pool, right? We got the basement's ours type thing. The Lamborghini, you know, I have to drive the Lamborghini around, right?
Yeah, well, I'm driving that.
Hey, we get to go down the road, and I get to meet my all-time favorite player, Albert, right?
Yeah.
We get to go meet Albert because they're tight, right? It's got to be a day after a game, or right?
Absolutely.
Or do we do what we should do for the show and go down and cover the damn team and all these changes that they're going to make?
We're going to Arizona.
Why don't we do both?
Okay, that's fine too.
All right.
Where is that? Get it in the budget.
The budget, yeah. I got your budget. Yeah, okay, so here's what we'll do. Benji, I doubt very much, and I appreciate and I respect this about him, I doubt very much is going to sit here and say, "This, I want this guy gone, I'm going to do this guy's not." I don't know that that's his style, okay? Maybe he can critique our ideas. So maybe we'll do that. We'll let him say, okay, here's what I think about your plan. How about that?
Sounds good.
All right. Well, hey, as we're mourning this morning edition of Two Birds on a Bat, we hope everybody out there has enjoyed the season with the show. And again, we tried to bring a lot of things, some levity sometimes, some funniness sometimes, some craziness sometimes, and really just some general conversation points. Whether you agreed with them or not is completely up to you. And we respect it. Happy to have you guys all be a part of this show. Again, you can find us at twobirdsonabat.com. Hit us up on all of our social media sites. Birds on a Bat Show through Twitter. Type in Two Birds on a Bat for the Facebook. And, of course, Instagram, our new Instagram account, which we're having a lot of fun with, Two Birds on a Bat Show. Thanks again to the great Facebook pages, Cardinal Freak, Cardinals 24/7, Cardinal Nation, our good friend Chris Wallace and his wonderful fiance. We hope things are improving there as well, Chris. And of course, the Rally Squirrel Club. Check it out, rallysquirrel.com. You want to be a premium member of that? For less than the price of a cup of coffee, you guys can be a member. Be eligible for all these great prizes, receive the extra content as today. You know, we'll have the special interview with Darren Hendrickson and, of course, all the great things that go on there as well. Couldn't do the show without Nate McHenry and his wonderful support that we get from RallySquirrel.com, the great Facebook page. For everybody at LineUpMedia.fm, the fastest growing podcast company on the planet, we are Steve and Jimbo. We will see you not on the field. We'll see you in the living room watching playoff baseball for 2 years in a row, and we ain't happy. So, hey, look forward to talking on Thursday as we take over the GM chair for a moment. Like to hear your comments as well. We'll probably throw some stuff out to you guys on Thursday and let you comment. You know what we'll do? Maybe we'll run some contests. Maybe have people submit their best, and then we'll pick what we think is the best, and maybe do something there as well. Maybe with one of these autographed Yachty things. That might be a good one.
We got to get some contests going here.
But your contest is the good one. That's a no-brainer, folks. All you got to do is call the guy. What's that number again?
618-655-0483, Missouri and Illinois.
Call him. Ask him a question about mortgages. Any question. Just ask him a question. You're registered. Give him your name and phone number. You are registered. And again, he's not going to do anything with your name and phone number. Okay? That is so we can register you for the contest. Okay? Very simple. You fill out a loan with the guy and let him at least tell you what he can do for you. That's 5 entries. You do the loan with the guy, you get 20. So if you do the loan with the guy, you get 26, right? If you fill out an app, you get six. That's right. Yep.
Yeah.
Call.
Yeah.
Yep. All steps. So anyway, hey, we'll do this too. If you refer somebody to call him, if you call him and somebody else calls and says, hey, guy told me to call you, that's 5 more. How about that, Steve-O? 5 more if somebody refers and they mention their name.
We can do anything. Remember how we used to do
our contest?
We like...
Yep.
The more entries you get, we love it.
That's right. So there we go. There's an additional way to get 5. Refer somebody to call him. And when they call, they give that name. We'll be making the list on our spreadsheet, and we'll tick it down each time. So really, think about this. If you call, let's just say you weren't sure what you were doing with your loan. You call, fill out an application, you come back and tell. That's 6, right? Say you call.
Right.
Say you have 10 other people call you. That's 50 more entries to go along with your 6. Pretty good. And you didn't even have to do anything. All you had to do was spread the word.
That's it.
2 Cardinal tickets opening day. Opportunity to hang out with Benji.
It'll be a good time, that's for sure.
Cardinal holiday. You'll get that letter from Benji to your boss saying, please excuse me because it's a holiday, right? Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
That holiday
awesome.
Note?
That was an awesome note. Man, I can't believe we took him all around.
I know. We had
picture.
A great time.
It was great.
Anyway, hey, fans, we appreciate you guys. Thanks so much for being a part of the show. We will see you in the studio. That's what we'll do.
Go Birds.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.